wrestling fans. It's Monday, July 6th, here on the Wrestling Hot Seat. This is Dominic. Well, we're not going to do the normal report today because I got a special guest on. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She can wrestle. The legendary star of wrestling, Malaya Hosaka. Malaya, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Flattery will get you everywhere, Dominic.
What?
I said flattery will get you everywhere.
Oh, thank you. I'll write that down in my notes. Wait a minute. Flattery will get you everywhere. Okay. All right. So first, I want to thank Mark Bujon for giving me your phone number. And finally, we got a chance to hook up because you're very busy working in an airline right now.
I am very busy. Between airline and wrestling, I stay pretty much gone all the time.
All right, let's talk about your career and where you wrestled, your favorite opponents and all of that. We'll get into all of that.
Okay. Where do you want to start at?
Okay. How did you debut and who trained you and how did you get involved in wrestling?
I debuted on August 7th of 1987 at a show in Holyoke, Massachusetts. My name at that time was Malaya Ho, and I was Misty Blue's tag team partner against Linda Dallas and Mad Dog Debbie. It was for Killer Kowalski, who also trained me. I went to Misty Blue's school, but Kowalski came down from Boston and did all the training at the school. How I got into it was pretty much common knowledge these days that my dad dared me. He was a huge fan of it. I, you know, was young. I hated it. I thought it was the stupidest thing there was on TV. And after watching a match between Bugsy McGraw and The Missing Link, I'm like, you know what? Anybody could do that. And he's like, well, I bet you couldn't. So I started following wrestling. I met Hacksaw Higgins in my hometown. And, you know, he put me in contact with Misty. From there, I went up to South Glens Falls and I trained and just networking after that.
I remember Misty Blue Sim. She was great. And you mentioned the legendary Killer Kowalski. Don't get no better than that. And Bugsy McGraw, my God.
I know. It's going back.
Yeah, and you wonder in the history of wrestling how these people's paths cross.
Mm-hmm.
Last I saw Bugsy, he was backstage at TNA, but I don't know what Bugsy McGraw is doing now. I know he does some autograph signings.
Right. I'm not really sure what he does now. I know Florida Legends Convention meets, I believe it's the last Friday of the month. And he's there, and, you know, I'm able to get, I was able to talk to him and get to know him a little bit, and he's a hoot. I love him.
Oh, he's a great guy. I met him in Nassau Coliseum years ago. He's a lot of fun.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that's when he was managed by Albano, and they brought him in WWE for a while. He used to wrestle as the Brute.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I didn't get WWE back then. It was all Florida Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, we got that over here much later. I fell in love
right.
with it. Gordon and all that great stuff in Florida, and then we got Georgia.
Yeah.
So, in the Boston area, what was your biggest feud now?
In the Boston area,
I
would say probably against Brittany Brown. I didn't really do a lot of feuding up in the Boston area until, you know, years later after LPWA. I'd met Brittany Brown and, you know, there, and then some promoters brought me in to work against her. I think even Kowalski brought me in to work some shows against her up there. But the Northeast wasn't really where a lot of my stuff was. When I first started out, it was all down in Florida. And, you know, down there, my biggest feud starting out was with Luna Vachon and Penelope Paradise.
Wow. Yeah, of course, Luna Vachon,
yeah.
I know. And Brittany Brown has been on my hotline several times. And yeah. And what about WWE now? We talked about that yesterday, that they actually paid you for staying home.
Yeah, they signed me to a developmental contract in 99. And at the time that I signed the contract, I was supposed to be named aphrodisiac and manage Poppy Chulo or S.A. Rios. And the week that we were to debut together, something happened where he didn't make it in. I don't remember exactly what. His flight was messed up or something at the border. I don't know. But he didn't make it to the show. And the next week, they called me up and said, hey, we don't think this is going to work. We're going to put Lita with him instead, or Amy Dumas, and we're, you know, she's going to be called Lita, blah, blah, blah. So we're just going to have you sit at home until we come up with something else. A year later, got released due to lack of character development, because I think a lot of it had to do with politics. The guy that actually got me my contract and pulled for me to get a job was Terry Taylor, and he quit and went back to WCW 2 weeks after I signed my deal with them. And, you know, like I said, you know, it was basically I got sent home and not used after that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that thing.
So.
But yeah, he's Mr. Aguilar now in Mexico. Yeah, they use Lita for that. That was supposed to be your spot. Oh, never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was supposed to be my spot. I mean, I don't know that it would have worked out as well. I think Lita had a great look for it. I think she pulled it off very well. I don't know that if I would have been put with him, it would have gotten over as well as it did with her. But yeah, that was initially my spot. And but, you know, life goes on. I went back to the Indies. At the time, I was still working for Harley Race. I was his champion, working in Missouri and helping train his guys. And I mean, I had a great time, and just while collecting a paycheck from Vince. So, you know, it was kind of sad when he decided he didn't want to pay me to do nothing anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So where else
I did have the idea.
Wrestle in Canada?
I wrestled in Canada. I actually just debuted up there for the first time in Vancouver about a week ago for a new women's company called Girls Gone Wrestling. Tremendous amount of talent, great response from the fans that were there. But yeah, it reminded me of the old days where every match on the show meant something. It built towards something, and it was amazing. I feel honored to have been a part of that.
Wow. How about Puerto Rico? You ever toured there?
I've been down to Puerto Rico a few times, worked for Carlos. He brought me down on anniversary shows. I worked for Randy Alexander, Debbie Combs, and Tigresa down there years ago. I have not been down to Puerto Rico in quite some time. You know, always an option to go back, but, you know, which I would love to. But, yeah, it's been quite a while since I have been down to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much of women wrestling in the World Wrestling Council lately, and you mentioned Debbie
right.
Combs. Her mom recently passed away, Cora.
Yes, she did, and I was heartbroken and sickened by it. And I know that was her best friend, and my heart goes out to Debbie. You know, Debbie and I had a longstanding feud for many years, and she taught me, and she seasoned me out, and I don't even know where I would be in this industry without her.
Wow. How many years were you active?
27. I am still active.
Wow, see, you're still going strong.
I'm still going. I retired for a year, and Brandywine drugged me back into it, and I'm kind of grateful that she did, because with her, I became her tag team partner, and it took 26 years to do it, but I finally got a tag team title under my belt, and Brandywine and I, as legendary, held the Shine Championship for a while.
Ah, that's great, great, great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the old school women, like Moolah and Mae Young and all of that,
mm-hmm.
they could wrestle and hang in there. What do you think about the women of wrestling today, like that they're more eye candy than they are ability?
I think it's sad. I think that there is a dying art out there, and it's not just with the women. The guys have it too, but especially the women. There's an art to getting in that ring and telling a story and being able to call things on the fly and hear the fans and react to the fans and give them what they need. And that's something that my veterans taught me. Leilani and Judy and Debbie and Luna, they taught me how to listen to what the fans are looking for and to tell that story in there without having everything choreographed to start to finish. I mean, it's like you have everything planned out. You know what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, but sometimes the fans just sit there because you don't interact with them. And I think they're starving for that. Like, I go out and I yell, shut up, and that's all I really have to do. And they start yelling back at me, and I think they love it, you know, because so many wrestlers today, they're taught that the fans are props. Don't work the cameras, ignore the props.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you play the heel and the face at times?
At times. I have not really played the face truly since I'd say somewhere around late 90s when I met Starla Saxton and helped break her in the business and bring her along and stuff like that. I kind of took her under my wing and started trying to help season her out. I kind of switched over to the heel role because she was a natural baby face. And, you know, as time has gone on, that's just become more natural for me to be a heel in the ring.
Okay. Okay. Now, you did some indie stuff for Tommy D, right?
Years ago, yes, I did.
Yeah, because my buddy Doug Dollars, he says, Malaya Hosaka always wrestled on Tommy's shows back in the day.
Yeah, I did.
Who's your opponent in Tommy's stuff?
I want to say it was Molly McShane. I worked for a lot of companies in the Northeast at that time, and I can't remember exactly who, but most of the time, I want to say back then, I was working with Molly McShane.
Oh, okay. Because I used to go to all the Tommy D shows at the churches in Brooklyn back then.
Right. And I remember there was one girl, and I don't remember if it was Tommy D's show or not, he brought in, and I can't remember the girl's name, but she came in and she tried to tell me that she was Scary Sherry's stunt double. And I'm like, you're what? She's like, yeah, I'm Scary Sherry's stunt double up at WWF, and you know, I do all of her stunts for her. And
oh,
I was like,
I never heard that before. Sherry never needed a stunt double.
Well, I'm like, do you think Sherry climbs to the top rope and we go, cut, stunt, in there, double?
Oh,
yeah, no.
Somebody actually said that to you?
Did you believe it? Oh, no, I've been in the business long enough not to believe that.
Yeah, really, but they thought you would believe something stupid like that?
I guess. I don't really know. I mean, I don't know. I never, to this day, don't understand what she means by she was Sherry's stunt double because, you know, we're wrestlers. We do all of our own stunts.
Yep.
Sorry.
I guess maybe she meant that if Sherry didn't show up, they would use her and call her Sherry Martel. But
I honestly don't know. I don't know.
I know
she was horrible.
Oh, well, then maybe that's why. She wanted to be like somebody that was very good.
Maybe. And she didn't look anything like Sherry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you, TNA's work is excellent. I don't know if you watch TNA, but Brooke can go. Awesome Kong for a big girl. She can go.
Right.
What's her name? The other girl there. Taryn Terrell can go. Mickey James is excellent.
Right. Well, you know, they brought Awesome Kong back, and I think that's great because for a big girl, she can really go. But I think the sad is that they feel that they can only have one big girl there because I think Jessica Havoc was a huge asset to that company, and they let her go. Like, Havoc can go. Havoc can carry. She's a good base. She's got a great character to her. Fans love her, fans hate her, and I just can't even believe TNA let her go.
Yeah, I thought they were going to extend that with Havoc and Kong, and that would have been awesome, but...
It would have. It would have been great. But, yeah, no, I don't know why they feel they can only have one big girl, but, yeah, I think that was a shame.
I think Beth Phoenix in her day was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
And now she's retired.
I haven't really watched a whole lot of wrestling since, I don't know, somewhere around 1987.
Right.
But, you know, there are some girls out there I've worked with on the indie circuit, and I have a lot of respect for their work. As far as, like, the names that are out there, you know, Mickey James, I've worked with her. I think she's terrific. You know, like you said, Brooke and Awesome Kong and some of the other girls that I've crossed paths with, but as far as, like, you know, the twins or whoever is up at Vince, I'm honestly really unfamiliar with a lot of the work of the stars of the bigger companies simply because I'm not entertained, so I don't watch it. I sit there and I do try, like, when I'm flipping channels and it's on, I'll stop, and whether it's guys or girls on there, I try to watch it, but I'm not entertained by 1,000 different high spots.
Yeah.
I'm entertained by a story, and I'm entertained by you being able to work that story and make it believable. And if you can't hold my attention for that, then I just flip on past.
See, you Trish is excellent. Trish Stratus.
I thought she was good. You know, I don't know that I would say excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I thought with what she had to work with, she was good. You know, I give her a lot of props because she got her break and she really didn't have to try to excel anymore, but she did. She tried to learn the craft and she tried to keep going. The problem is, like, up at that level, and I mean, and you're, this is going all the way back to 2000 when I was under contract with them, you know, I got told nobody wants to see the girls wrestle. Nobody cares if the girls can wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is, they're like, we've got 11 men's matches, and so we don't need the girls to wrestle. We just need the girls to look good.
Yeah,
and
see.
Because the fans will buy that, and because the fans will buy a lower quality of wrestling from the girls and be okay with it, that's what they get sold. And I don't want to take anything away from what, you know, Trish has done, but I don't even think Trish could really hang with some of the girls that, I mean, I don't see Trish in there with the quality of girls of like Leilani's and Judy's and even the Jumping Bomb Angels. Yeah, she had some great moves.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, she had some great moves, and she put the quality time in there to learn it. But how many of these girls actually understand the psychology? How many of them can get in there and get from A to Z without it completely planned out?
Yeah.
You know,
and
that's what I look at.
Recently, right?
What's that?
Let's talk about the award you just won recently.
Oh, yeah. Cauliflower Alley Club gave me a women's wrestling award honoring the contributions and things that I've done throughout my career in wrestling. It was a huge honor for me to receive that. I was quite shocked when Pearl Lauer called me up and said, hey, we'd like to give you this award. We'd like to honor you. We'd like to have you come out and be a part of our club. And, you know, and I'd been part of Cauliflower Alley Club before years ago. And